Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is an excerpt from the epistle lesson appointed for Thanksgiving Sunday. I read to you from Philippians chapter 4, the 6th and 7th verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thus far our text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise your name for the word that you bring to us. We're thankful, dear God, that you give us faith to receive this word. And we ask again that you block out all the noise of the things that are around us, and you bring us to understand what it is that you want us to believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, friends, we're quickly coming to the end of another planting season. The fields are ripe and the harvest for many is well underway. Thanks be to God. And we should always add those words, thanks be to God, for without him, without the rain that God sends and the sunlight that God gives and the winds and the pollinators and all the other things that God does to care for the seeds that we plant, we'd not have a harvest. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, all blessings great and small. And praise him, too, that we can approach him and ask for those blessings. The prayers we lift up are based upon faith. Faith that God will attend to all that we ask, or give us even something better and above what we ask for or think. Let me say that again, just in case you didn't catch that. The prayers that we lift up are grounded upon faith. The faith that God will attend to all that we ask, or give us something even better and above what it is that we've been asking for or thinking. That's why we can say, "Thy will be done," and do so in gratitude as we pray, even ahead of God's response. There's a story about a farmer who smiled and looked upward to heaven one day, and he said, "Lord God, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the harvest you're about to give." That sounds like an awesome prayer, right? Well, it was, given that he was saying that on the first day of spring while the snow was still deep and the wind was carving out drifts over his driveway. That's what you call trust. That's what you call thankfulness. And that farmer knew that God would supply him with something even before he planted a single seed. Now, you have to notice how the farmer didn't say that his harvest was going to be bountiful in this petition. He was speaking as Paul spoke in today's epistle lesson. "For I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Whatever God blessed this farmer with, he was praying in gratitude, knowing that his needs would be satisfied, not only in the harvest, but also in his own personal relationship with his God. And that's how we should pray. We should pray in confidence before God, trusting in his providence and being thankful for everything that he's going to give us. Think of Luther's explanation of the introduction to the Lord's Prayer here in his small catechism, and you'll quickly grasp what it is that we're talking about. Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? By these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children might ask their dear Father. Now, some prosperity preachers would use these words materialistically. That's not the intent of this or any other prayer. There's only one brief petition in the Lord's Prayer that addresses the material aspects of our lives, namely, give us this day our daily bread. But in reality, this isn't as much a plea than it is an acknowledgement and a thanksgiving. For as Luther says, God gives daily bread to even those who don't pray. It's in his prayer that we ask that God would lead us to realize his providence and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Now, the Lord's Prayer opens our eyes to a different reality. It opens us up to see that there's so very much more to our needs. Lest we forget, in Deuteronomy 8:3, it's written, God humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone. I hope that sounds familiar, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So I hope it sounds familiar. These are the very words that Jesus used against his own adversary, Satan, when he was tempted in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, feed your own belly. Turn this stone into bread. Well, Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and he can do these things, but not to the satisfaction of Satan. And we, too, are blessed, but not to the satisfaction of Satan. We're God's children. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, dear Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with him so that we may be also glorified with him. Romans 8:14-17. As children of God, we acknowledge that we need the bread of life. That is to say, we rely upon the fact that we need God. And we can be thankful for that. We've entered into a familial relationship with God, which was lavished upon us freely in Christ. For as he is raised up victorious, we too are being raised up. For by righteousness, through the peace that's been multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness, and we've been called to our Lord by his own glory and excellence, and made partakers with him in everything. In everything. You can look up that passage in 1 Peter 1:4, and it says that very same thing. The secret counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So says Psalm 25:14. In other words, we who fearfully love God and know his authority over us gladly bow down to that authority, trusting our sins into his forgiveness, our lives into his hands. And we're invited to the closest counsel with God as his children, as co-heirs, and as friends. Contrast that with the world who doesn't know Christ. They're listed only as his enemies. Because you sit in God's counsel, you know the heart of God. You know that the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, Luke 9:55-56. But God goes again far beyond what it is that we expect in Christ. You can speak to God in prayer with boldness of Abraham. Abraham, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? If there were 50 righteous persons in that city of Sodom, would you adjust God, sweep away and not spare the city for the sake of the 50, for the sake of the 40, for the sake of the 30, the 20, the 10? Genesis 18. You can intercede for others on their behalf, as Abraham did in the desert after Israel sinned against God by building that golden calf. Abraham said, Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger. This is Moses talking to God. Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. All of these intercessions are only possible because God has blessed us into a relationship with him and through him. He's blessed us. God's relationship with us far exceeds anything that any human could ask for. And for that, we can truly be thankful. And God will continue to bless us in that relationship. His gift of redemption draws us close to Himself. His gift of daily bread meets our needs. And His gift of prayer welcomes us into His family. And we can speak it often. For He seeks to bless all through His Son, who is Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's both your assurance for this week and our key verse, Philippians 4:7. As always, you can find that on our website. Today, as you approach God in thanks, remember these things. Trust in these things and rejoice in these things. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Turn to God in thankfulness, remembering what He has done, remembering that He welcomes you to Himself and always will attend to you as we ask. And give you something even better and above what it is that we ask or think in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise your name for the gift that you give us. You give us the harvest, you give us our daily bread, but you give us so much more. Through your Son, our Lord and Savior, you give us oneness with you. You give us life. And Lord God, you make it possible for us to lay every one of our petitions before you. Help us to always be thankful as we do that, trusting that you will exceed what it is even that we ask for. According to your wisdom, according to your mercy, according to your grace, but especially according to your foreknowledge of what our needs really are. Bless us, dear God, in this remembrance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. And amen.